Paul Smith, Sydney Kings owner, has been good enough to join me. And getting fans back is going to be critical to the NBL coming back. Welcome to the program, Paul. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Hi, Ryan. I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm damn well, actually. I'm excited about some sport coming back. And, you know, this Thursday the NRL starts and the numbers are fairly low right now. How are you seeing the horizon from your angle?
Oh, look, I think it's a... Oh, man, look, it's tough right now. There's a lot of doubts about what's going to happen, as we all know. And, look, thankfully, the NRL's back on deck and AFL's going to be close behind it. And that's going to start to pave the way for the other sports, I guess. And, you know, this whole question of fans being in buildings, that's going to be a vexed question. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think what's more importantly right now as it relates to fans, I think the key issue is going to be, you know, listening to the fans and seeing where their comfort levels are and what their expectations are around these things. And I think that also segues into the reality today that in this new environment we're in, everyone now is going to start to place so much more importance on fans. You know, venues, you know, pricings, all these sorts of things have become really... Everyone can be very cognizant of the fact that you've got to be thinking and listening and working for your fans and your members even harder. So, in all of it's a positive, I guess, and that's going to be part of the shifting sands. But, you know, gosh, it's unpredictable at best, but hopefully we can navigate the next few months and that'll set up an opportunity for the NBL to be on a steady footing for our return into play.
And Larry Kesselman has indicated, the owner of the NBL, that the model that he wants and will wait for is the crowd back model. So if you have to delay the season until November to get it, then let's delay the season to November. I presume you support that.
Yeah, well, look, as one owner of a team in the league, yeah, we work in unison together on those things. And, you know, look, and again, bear in mind, we're in a state-based model here at the moment. You know, the federal cabinet sort of been operating at a sort of a national level to an extent, but we're starting to now see the states determining the various circumstances and conditions that they are looking to apply, and they're not national standards. So, you know, we've seen this just case in point with the AFL, where they're going to operate put them in a bubble and hubs and things, you know, because there's not a consistency at a state level. So, you know, at a club level for the Sydney Kings, all we can do is put our best foot forward with the state government, the venues, and keep in constant contact with our players and our staff about those sorts of things. But these aren't easy times, and we'd love to have a consistent policy, but I don't think that's going to be the case. And I think it's really going to rely on each club in every sport acting in a very, very, very responsible way, and which Sydney Kings are proud to do, and we've done so recently. We will continue to do to put player welfare and social welfare at the foremost of what we're trying to do.
What do we read into Andrew Bogut's tweet today? He's tweeted, "I've decided not to sign with the Sydney Kings or any professional sporting team for that matter for the time being. With everything going on in the world, the future doesn't look too clear, most notably in regards to sporting leagues worldwide. This is no means a retirement note, but simply saying that any concrete decisions are too hard to be made at this point in time." What should we read from that?
Bogan's one of the greats. Like, he can't win. If he says something explicitly, people still want to read into it. It's pretty explicit. You know, he's just simply taking time. We've been in conversation, of course. Andrew's a valued part of our organisation, and, you know, we're proud to be standing behind him in this process. And I'm proud of the fact that he's stepped up and said, you know what, I'm not making a decision. I'm not going to be forced by someone else's timeline to make a decision. He wants to take time, but, you know, that involves, obviously, him taking that decision creates a circumstance where the Sydney Kings as an organisation, we've got to get about our business and building a roster. We have no certainty around Andrew returning, and nor are we seeking any certainty from Andrew returning. You know, we're just simply wanting to ensure, the only thing we wanted to be certain of is that Andrew's mindset was right for the decision he was going to make. And right now, it's a no decision. And the fact that he can spend time with his family, he's living up on the Gold Coast there, and a bit of warmth on the back. And I think that he's enjoying that. And the body's starting to feel good. And, you know, that's great as well. And I put out a tweet today. I said, you know, we're lucky that in Australia an athlete of the caliber of Andrew Bogut in any sport can take a decision to focus on his family and his own well-being at this point in time. And you can read in, the only thing you can read into that is that Andrew's going to make his decision in his own good time that won't be governed by someone else's agenda. And we're supporting in that. And we didn't crowd around this announcement. Andrew's a big fellow. He can make his own statements, and we encourage all our players to speak for themselves. And there's not a whole lot of spin in this thing, I can tell you that right now.
He also said, the reason I've decided to do this now is to give the Sydney Kings enough notice to act accordingly with free agency being around the corner. So when do you start thinking about what your roster's going to look like? It's going to be a completely different process from that date, whether that date's tomorrow or now, putting a roster around Andrew Bogut or assembling a roster not knowing if Andrew Bogut's going to play or not.
Well, that started about, about October last year.
Okay.
Look, we've got a coach in Will Weaver and a CEO in Chris Pongrass that are highly talented people in roster construction. And trust me, the sessions I've been through with them, my head's nearly exploding at the variables, you know, that are laid out as the, you know, the dominoes start to fall and pieces move and this will change and this change. So it's a whole range of scenario management. And then factored into that is the decision around salary cuts. And that shifted a whole bunch of thinking around what talent would you get for what price. So it's difficult. But that process hasn't stopped. It's ongoing all the time. And, you know, we're constantly thinking around, well, not me personally, thankfully, because if I was choosing a roster, we'd be dead last every week. We're talented people who do this stuff. And, mate, that's ongoing, trust me. And so this is not we haven't been sitting here, you know, braiding each other's hair, waiting for Andrew to make a decision. It's been ongoing constantly.
So does it make it harder for you now, though?
No, not really. It makes it easier, in fact. You'd say that. You'd say, okay, well, we've got some clarity. Anything provides a level of clarity, perfect. Let's act with that. It's not, and again, nothing to read into it. Andrew's said, look, to you guys, get on with what you got to do. Don't wait for me because I'm going to take my time. And that's cool. That's perfectly fine. It's cool with us. We're perfectly fine with it. We just got to get on with our job now. And so, you know, that's what we do. This is very transparent. And please, anyone sitting around trying to read between the lines here, there's not a lot in it, unfortunately. It is what it is. And, you know, I reinforce the fact that Andrew's got the opportunity to take time to make a decision that's going to be important for him. And if that is to continue or not, or whatever it may be, or does that involve the Olympics in next July? And are the Olympics going to happen next July? You know, there's so much speculation, there's so much variability in the environment we're in. We just don't know the answer to these things. So today, Andrew's given us one level of certainty. We can move forward on the basis of that, and that's what we'll do.
Talking to Paul Smith, Sydney Kings owner. So I suppose the survival of competitions around the world right now is what owners are looking at, not just their own club, but the competition. What do you need from Larry, do you think, in the next couple of months, Larry Kesselman, to make sure that everything's on track for your league? What advice will you be giving him?
Oh, I give Larry plenty of advice. Don't worry about that. Plenty. No. I think that it's hard to say. It's a good question, actually. You've caught me on the hop there.
But you're normally pretty good with advice, Paul. You normally have an answer.
I've got a quick single here and there, but that one caught me a little bit. What would I? I think that what can I ask of Larry? Not a whole lot. I think we're in a circumstance right now, as are many of the other major sports in Australia, where, you know, in this environment, we can make some decisions that are, you know, pretty transformational that maybe you couldn't normally take in a normal operating environment. So I've been encouraging, let's think differently about what we're doing, and, you know, maybe this is the right environment to do that. But fundamentally, we've got to produce a great product, and and fans expect that, particularly fans that don't come to games, particularly fans that watch games on TV. And if we think we can put up a second-rate product and fake it, then we're going to get called out. And the league's done an enormous job And the club's done an enormous job over the last several years to sort of rebuild the momentum of the league and continuing to sort of push the boundaries. And I'd be concerned that if we sort of backed off or we started to sort of propose a second-rate product, and I think we'd do a lot of damage to what we're doing. So I think we've got to stay focused on being the best we can possibly be. But, you know, look, we're a function of a league. There's nine clubs, and you've got to – it's just there's that many variables. Again, it's challenging right now. And, you know, hopefully travel – the New Zealand situation levels out. We can play with New Zealand in the league. You know, we can get fans in the building because it is an impossible financial scenario without fans in the building. That's fundamentally the situation. So whatever we can do as a league to get fans back in the building, get them safe and get them enjoying the experience, then that's a good step forward.
And it sounds like you need imports. You need the good imports to keep coming.
Yeah, I think, of course, there's that sort of that ingredient that mixes up in what we do. The imports are key to that. And, you know, every club's had, you know, positive experiences for imports. You know, Jay Sean Tate was a massive, you know, player for us this year. Casper joining us was a momentum changer and redirected a lot of the focus of the franchise. And, you know, if to not have guys of that caliber in the mix or international players in the mix certainly takes away a little bit of the magic that we've enjoyed. So I think that's something to be seen. But of course, again, we're in a situation with border controls and, you know, all these sorts of things. It's just so difficult. But, you know, we're all for having imports in, and I think from our focus is right to go and find talent, get those next level players that will come in and prove themselves in our league. And that's the best thing that can happen. If we can bring imports into our league that demonstrate what they can be and that they can go into bigger and better things, either in the United States or in other markets, then that speaks volumes to what the NBL can be and should be for players.
And Larry's also intimated that Illawarra will be essentially a travelling Illawarra. Do you see that model working, that Illawarra play Canberra and wherever else they need to go?
Yeah, as long as they don't beat Sydney, I don't care what they do. Look, I'm a Wollongong guy. I'm all over it. I love it. I think that there's, you know, look, the league's got to think about New South Wales. It's a key geographical market. There's no doubt. You know, Sydney in its own right is a huge economic market, which we're busy in that market. So the role of the Hawks to play something of a regional role and a bit of a sort of a pioneer of those markets and opening those markets up to the game of basketball can only be a good thing. So we'd be supportive of it for sure.
Great stuff, Paul. Really appreciate you joining me at short notice. And always good to pick your brain.
All right, any time. It's a small one, so there's not much there. So keep at it.
Good on you, Paul Smith.